All right, we are out of our recess. We have a past client from our counseling and PRT system. He has stated that he would like people to hear his message, and so we thank him for that. I think he's definitely been a success, and this is an educational piece for our members, and so also the public will be able to hear. So we're going to not exclude anybody from the screen, and we're not going to exclude anybody from the room. And so, Mr. Barone.
Yeah, I'm Taos, a recovering alcoholic, and just going to tell a little bit about my story that I went through the PRT program, and it really helped me out a lot. When I left there, I went to a sober living house that helped me out with being accountability, learning how to pay my bills, and stuff like that, and going to meetings. That's where there's a lot of stuff around here. There ain't very many meetings because this is a small town. We need meetings like every day if you really want to recover. That's kind of the downfall around here. There ain't no meetings. I've just started another meeting a couple of weeks ago on a Thursday night. But as far as going through PRT, it's a good program. The only thing I see that needs help is when somebody's really wanting to get into treatment and it takes time. Coming out of detox, you got to wait 15 days. Or I did. I had to wait 15 days before I could get into treatment, and there, that time there, if you ain't got somebody to help you out, if you're on your own, it's hard. And that's what I feel is it needs, where you can come out of detox and go right into treatment. And then when you get out of treatment, get into a sober living environment where you can get help, because a lot of people got fines, ain't got license, stuff like that. And was it 477? I got on the 477 program, career development through the tribe, and it helped me get my license back, get me an apartment and stuff like that. So that helped me out a lot. The tribe has a lot of stuff to offer if you're willing to do the steps, the paperwork, and stuff like that. It's been a real ride here, being around here, because there ain't that many meetings. I mean, that's what it's going to really boil down to is getting meetings here, and getting people to come to meetings, because a lot of people don't want to be seen going into meetings. You got to keep it kind of discreet. Where it's at and stuff like that. My success stories. I've been through the program. I went to an Oxford house for 9 months, where I learned all my life skills and stuff. And then I got out into the real world, and I started working, and I got a house. I bought a house now. I bought a house, so I've got a good job, and I'm being productive, a productive citizen now, where I used to not be. I mean, I used to not, nobody wanted me around or anything like that. Now people call me and want help because of the way the program changed me, the PRT program, how they changed me.
Wonderful. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Congresswoman Lemon, was that you?
Yes, ma'am.
Go right ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Taos, if I was there, I'd give you a hug.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, we come from the same place, and we grew up around each other, and I'm really, really happy for you. I'm really happy for your children and your family. And I just wanted to say that what I hear you telling us is something that we've kind of visited, touched on a little bit, but one thing that we didn't happen to touch on, which is so, so very fortunate that you're here to share this with us, is the meetings piece. The other piece that we did touch on was, in our meeting earlier today, was the fact that there seems to be some barriers to getting into the counseling / PRT system for treatment in a quick manner that would be conducive to improved, you know, numbers possibly of people wanting to go ahead and get help. And we all know, many of us know here, that a lot of times treatment doesn't, it takes several times to be successful at treatment. And there's nothing wrong with that, because it takes several times to be successful at many things that we try to accomplish in our lives. And the important piece of it is just not giving up. It's just always getting back up and pushing through it. And so we did talk about that, but what I did hear you say that, and that is a topic that has been discussed today. But the piece that we didn't discuss, and that's why I'm so glad you're here, is about the follow-up meetings that aren't available closely, where somebody could even possibly walk to a meeting, because there's several times that people that go through addiction and go through some type of rehab, if you want to call it that, they may not even have the ability to get to an appointment, but they might be willing to walk with one to one if it's for a meeting of such. And, you know, walk therapy is another aspect that some people utilize for their own therapy. So I just wanted to say thank you for bringing that to light about the not having the meeting pieces to be able to go to when they are needed. And we do know that sometimes they're sometimes needed to be daily, like you said, Taos. So I hope that we can incorporate that in our plan at some point in the future with what we're talking about here. So way to go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Taos. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm well. I just wanted to thank you for sharing your testimony with us here today. Maybe it's not an easy thing to do, but I really respect and appreciate the freedom that you have to come in and talk with us about the struggles that you've had in your life. And one thing that I wanted to ask you and just comment on it, and we talked, somebody had brought this up earlier, but there's, you know, you go from one addiction to another, and I think I've seen you addicted to the weight room. I think I've seen you addicted to the fitness center. And that's part of your recovery of getting a healthy body. And could you just speak to that a little bit? Because you're a big person, muscled up, and I've seen you there. I've seen it. I've seen the way you work out and people gravitate towards you, and you're instructing them on how to, you know, use proper form, this, that, and the other. But talk about that for a little bit, if you would.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I use the weight room as the physical part of my recovery, because the endorphins kick in and it makes you feel good. And at the same time, I have people that's in AA meetings and stuff that's in recovery. They work out with me too, and we're talking about recovery at the same time, or we're talking about God. We're kind of a little church session or AA meeting going there, because we're all struggling with something, and we're all there to help each other. Just like when you got heavy weight on you, sometimes you need help getting it off of you, and that's like an addiction. You need help. So that's the way I feel about doing the weights. It just makes you feel good. And I used to start my day off with working out. Now I've started a different job, so I don't get to go till the evenings. But when you first do it in the morning, it really, really starts your day off good. You feel good the rest of the day. They say it's in your mind. It's them endorphins getting kicked in. So I believe that. PRT, they used to take everybody to the weight room for an hour or two a day. I think since the pandemic, they don't do that no more. But that's what got me started when I went through the program. And just doing an hour a day, I mean, that's a big deal for me. I still do it. I've been doing it for 5 years now, so. And you get results.
Chair Staber, if I could, just one more thing.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. And I appreciate that information, Towson. Last time I was down at the fitness center last week, looks like we may need to upgrade some of our equipment down there. It's kind of getting wore out thanks to people like you. That's good. One thing I wanted to ask you while you were in PRT and while you were in treatment, I know being Osage and being Native means a lot to you, means a lot to all of us. Is there a cultural element that was included in your treatment plan? And if so, what was it and how did it help you?
Yes, with the Sweat Lodge really helped me out with the spirituality part. And then, two, when I was in there, they let me go to a Native American church. And it was one of my first times I went, and I got, it felt like I'd always been there, you know. My spirit had always been there. And that kind of gravitated me into it. And then going to dances and that, because I wasn't brought up like doing the dancing and that. But once I got in PRT and been around it, something kicked up in me, and I started doing that too. And that's like a cultural deal for me, a traditional deal now. And that brings me closer to my Osage people. I think.
Well, Mr. Brown, I just want to say thank you again for being here with us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, thank you. We also have another client on the line, and I just wanted my colleagues to know that in recovery, there are certain folks that we call it, we'll scream it from the mountaintops that we're in recovery, and of course I'm one of those, and so is Towson ASA, so that's why they're choosing not to go an executive session, because they like telling their story. But I want to say something about Taos. So when Taos came out of treatment, at that time I was operating the financial assistance program, in which we have $477 dollars, and those are basically self-governance dollars that help assist you with career development. And so when Taos touched on that, when he came into our office, he was scared, as you should be when you come out of treatment. You don't come out strong, you come out full of fear. And if you're not fearful, then it didn't work. And so he came to the office and he said to me, "Hello, ma'am," introduced himself, and he said, "My mother dropped me off. She's done. She's done with me. And I need help." And I said, "Okay, well, come in," because that's what we're here for. And so we did an intake on Taos, and we were like, "Do you have a license?" He's like, "No." "Okay," which most, a lot don't, that go through treatment. "So how's he going to get to these meetings that he has to have to live? It's about living or dying, basically." And so he didn't have a license, so we didn't do that for him. We made him make the phone calls and help him become self-sufficient, and that's what those $477 dollars are about. We also got him a job. I think you reported that next day or 2 days after, because you cannot get bored, right? So we put him to work, because everybody always needs something, right? So we put him to work. At the same time, we started working on a self-sufficiency plan. And at the same time, he was trying to, work his, utilize the tools he learned in PRT, because that's all that you're learning tools. And so we tried to help him, and we were able to do that with federal dollars. So he started getting a check. He started, you could see him changing. I didn't know Taos before. I've only known him in this lifestyle, this new life that he's been granted. And we talked a long time yesterday evening, and he told me that he started an AA program. But they will tell you when you come out of treatment, 90 days, 90 meetings, because you could fail And so personally, I didn't have a license when I left the treatment facility, but I knew I had to get to AA, so I was bumming rides from everybody. But once I got there, I knew I'd get a ride home, but it was getting a ride there. And you start figuring out, like, okay, I'm trying to live, not die. That's all I kept thinking, you know. And so I'm glad you brought up the transportation issue, because at that time, I would ask the PRT, well, can you guys give me a ride home or pick me up? And they said, no, we're not authorized to do that because you're not a current client. And I was just like, oh, man. So, of course, I had to find another route. But I'm glad that Taos brought that up, because that is a barrier, is transportation, not just to the meetings, but to counseling. If you choose to go to counseling, if you're even going to court, I mean, a real good case manager, and that's what we were doing at Financial Assistance, as a case manager, our people were giving them ride to court to help them become self-sufficient. And so I just wanted you to know that that is an option that we currently have in our tribe, is that those $477. So I don't know if you want to visit with ASA.
We can go ahead anytime we're ready. Was there anyone else that has a question for Mr. Barone before we move ahead? Okay. So, Taos, again, please stay. Thank you so much, and we're so thankful for your recovery.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, I should have said something. Cindy Shangru, I'm the board chair, and I just want to acknowledge your bravery. Your bravery in coming forth here to speak to us about your struggle and your fight and your wonderful transition that were so helpful. And in addition to the bravery that it took for you to seek help, because that is not for the faint of heart. And as second speaker mentioned, it sometimes, or maybe it was Congresswoman Lemon, that sometimes it takes more than one try to become successful, and that we are so proud and happy that you had the bravery in the inside of you to be able to do that and to bring your story to us. Thank you so much. We are so proud of you, and we hope to hear more stories like yours. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Thank you. Congresswoman Reber, would you like to introduce?
Hi, ASA. This is Jody. ASA is not Osage. He came to our program. He's from the CNA tribe. And ASA also has a success story, and I appreciate that he was able to join us at short notice, but he's another one that he just has a great story, and he has a lot of gratitude. And so, ASA, thank you for joining the call and helping us see what we could do better in creating our new facility. So thank you, ASA.
My name is ASA Samuels. I'm a member of the Cheyenne and Arapaho tribes of Oklahoma and a descendant of the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. I'm a graduate of Seminole State College with an associate's degree of science in biology. Right now, I'm an intern through Chickasaw Nation at the South Central Climate Adaptation Science Center at the University of Oklahoma. I study and research climate change and the impacts it has on culturally significant plants. On June 5th, I'll be headed to Lawrence, Kansas for an internship at the Haskell Environmental Research Studies Program, and I'll be studying and researching environmental changes in indigenous communities. I'll be continuing my internship in Norman whenever I return from Kansas. In the fall of 2021 of this year, I'll be attending the University of Oklahoma. I'll be double majoring in biology for wildlife conservation and Native American studies for cultural preservation of all tribal nations and sacred land. I have other interests such as photography. I do photography and landscapes, astronomy and wildlife. I love to hike and camp. Usually when the opportunity arises, I go on a whim. I got involved in playing the guitar as another hobby. I create different items of Native beadwork. I'm a registered artist through Choctaw Nation, and I teach beadwork classes for the absentee Shawnee tribe of Indians of Oklahoma. And, I'm always looking for new ways to grow. Right now, I'm learning both of my languages of Arapaho and Choctaw languages as we speak, you know, just to try to preserve that kind of culture. The reason why I'm telling you all of this and kind of doing my little bit of a bio is because of all of this started at PRT, at Osage Nation, especially the B work with Blue Star. You know, I know a lot of y'all know Blue Star. You know, he does all the B work. He's my mentor in my B work in that little realm there. All this had actually started at PRT. So being alumni from there and actually having this success story is something I always tell, and I always represent Osage Nation and the PRT very, very highly. And I always recommend y'all to every single tribal person that I come across that needs help, because it has helped for me. One of the things that, you know, that I've learned a lot from there, is the community. Just like Taos probably has said that, we had broken chains on Tuesday nights, and then we had our, you know, the cultural aspects of it, of having the sweats on Wednesday nights and all that. But, you know, and I still have kept in contact with a lot of our other PRT alumni, but, you know, some of them haven't made it that far, which is, you know, which is okay, because, you know, we all do slip up. I've slipped up many, many times. You know, I've been alcoholic for 16 years before I made it to PRT. And I just celebrated 2 years back in December 8th of last year. So, I mean, I'm still going strong within the program. I'm still learning everything that I've learned there, and I still carry on a lot of that. But the ones that I do still come in contact with, you know, they're still somewhat struggling sometimes. You know, it's not anybody else's fault. You know, it's just a struggle that they have gone through. One of the things that it is right that about transportation, you know, to and from treatment or continuous treatment going on from there. One of the things I would stress on is trying to carry on education or informational aspects of cultural aspects. The reason why I'm a wildlife conservationist now is because of my tour through from Osage Nation PRT to the Tallgrass Prairie Preserve. That was the last straw for me, and that's what made me want to go into wildlife conservation. The other thing about that as well is cultural preservation. The reason why I want to go into cultural preservation is because I've seen what the Osage Nation was doing for wildlife. So I get a lot of my passions from Osage Nation, which I think it should carry on. But I do think we could, add a little bit more to that. Try to add a little bit more of a opportunity for the future. You know, we wrote down our year goal, our 5-year goal, our 10-year goal. My 10-year goal was to graduate, have my own vehicle, and have my own place, and maybe have a family. Well, I've reached that goal in 2 years. And that was because of, you know, we had the opportunities to get out and build relationships, also build relationships with each other. You know, that was one of the biggest things. And that's part of the community that I'm talking about. The workout program, I know COVID is pretty impactful with a lot of the things that we had going on. You know, it's everywhere. So, you know, we have to kind of be cautious about that, but, the workout program, yes, that was actually one of the things that helped me out as well. Rock pipe stem with him and his drum making, that's another cultural aspect. You know, I think we should, you know, continue that on. You know, I still keep tabs on with Rock. I still talk to him to this day, and, you know, I still have my drum from whenever I was there, you know, and I, every time I bring the drum down or talk to people about it or people point it out, you know, I tell them where it's from and what, you know, I tell them the backstory behind it. You know, I've learned a lot of drum making, not drum making, but drumstick making. And like I said, a lot of the B work while I was at PRT. So I think a lot of that should be implemented as well. You know, a lot of the guys that have left, you know, halfway between, you know, they didn't really have a purpose there. They just, you know, kind of were just floating around, kind of just doing their thing, you know. And so they had a lot of time to think. They had a lot of time to themselves. And, you know, I think you know, implementing some other of those activities would help them, keep things off of their mind and help them try to transfer that negative influence into a positive influence, and kind of just go from there.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Are there any questions? Congresswoman Rebar.
Yes, thank you. So I will say that I met Asa at the facility when I went down there to sweat one time. And I just want to say that the person I'm looking at right now is not the person that I met back then. And so I can definitely see the growth, and kind of like what Congressman Tillman mentioned about Taos really liking to work out, you'll see that people that come out of recovery will pick up something and they stick to it and they go really strong with it. A lot of it is physical fitness, and as you can hear in Asa's comments, his is about education and schooling and the cultural aspect of it. I did want to ask you, Asa, when you left the PRT, did you go to any type of sobriety living or anything like that after you left treatment?
No. What I did was I went back home to where all my problems were, and I had to fight it off myself. I had to defend myself, you know, every day. I went to church every day. Well, not every day, but every time, you know, we had, you know, church or an event, I always volunteered for that. And I went to meetings at least twice a day, every single day, and until I became the youth pastor there, maybe about a month and a half after I got out of rehab, I was asked to join the youth program. And then Mother's Day of that year of 2019, I taught my first lesson. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that I had to jump into in order to stay sober, which was very scary, you know, because I after my 60 days was up at PRT, I knew I wasn't ready, you know, because I've been called a chronic relapser, and you know, I was afraid to relapse. So I tacked on another 30 days, and that's why I did the 90 and just kind of went off from there. But yeah, jumping out of PRT, I didn't go into any assisted living or anything else. I just went back home and just fought it off as hard as I could. And I was able to make it. So here I am.
Thank you. I have a question for either of you or both of you. You just mentioned the night that you went back in for the last night. So you made a 90-day program. And
yes.
So what are your opinions about a 60 or 90 day program, or how did that work for you?
Yeah, I mean, it really did work. Like I said, I like a lot of the things, like my eyes opened, I got the clarity there, you know, with the cultural aspect and the spiritual aspect, it's all there. You just have to embrace it. You know, it's all about what people want. But what I would say is that the 60 day was very impactful, but the 90 day was even more impactful because I got a little bit more of that spiritual and cultural, and even building more relationships and, you know, having, and also talking to more people that came in, you know, after, you know, sharing my story with them, you know, I was maybe able to give them a little bit of light, to kind of tell them, hey, I've been here for 75 days. I'll be gone in 15 days, but hey, man, just stick with it. And I promise you, if you just work the thing, if you work it, you're going to make it. So I do really believe that the 90-day really helped out a lot.
Taos, did you?
I've been to different programs. I've been from 30-day programs to 90-day programs. I think the 90-day program's good because 30 days, you're just kind of getting your head cleared. And then 90, mm-hmm. But then the 30 to 90 days, you're kind of receiving what they're giving you. The longer you're in there, the better you're getting, the stronger you're getting, you know what I mean? You're learning a lot there. But it's like, I think when I went through PRT, it was 45 days. But I stayed an extra week because I wanted to go to a Native American church. So I stayed an extra week, and I was scared, like Jody said. Yeah, I was scared. You got to be scared when you're coming out of there because it's life or death. And with me talking here, that's me getting out of myself and showing my story and that way I don't have to bottle stuff up, you know, and hide, because a lot of us like to hide. We don't want people to know we're alcoholics, but I'll scream it from up here on this bank. I mean, I will, because that saved my life. It's me coming out in the open and telling everybody I'm an alcoholic. But the 90 days or 120 days, I mean, whatever it takes. But I would give them the option.
That's great. I'm always kind of on the practical side because I'm operations. So I know in our facilities, we struggle with our facility, but I'd like to hear what you all would maybe like to see added to our facility that you think would be beneficial.
For me, I would like to see a sober living deal put in place, because you can't just kick us out back into our environment. Like Asa, he went back into his environment, but a lot of us can't do that. I mean, because we don't have the friends. And like me, I was kicked out of my family. I was all that. And I didn't have no place to go. And a lot of people are like that. But now I got my family back. I do all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, it took me a while to win them back. But but a sober living house is what helped me do that.
Okay.
Yeah, assisted living would be very, very beneficial. Especially going out of the program, because, you know, a lot of times, going out of the program and, you know, you being going back into your environment, sometimes if you don't have a place to go or if you don't have anything, sometimes you have to go back to that. And that also leads to going back into that destructive path. Some kind of assisted living, that would be great. Maybe even a job. Someplace that's close by. It doesn't have to be, it could be, a very small job, cleaning up or anything to keep the mind going and not, trying to figure out, life just itself, because you're coming out of rehab, you're coming out with the tools, but, you got to make those tools work in a very, very slow process. When I came out of the PRT program, I just carried on with beadwork. That would be another thing, is to implement activities. It could be any kind of activity. It doesn't really matter, just something. I know Rock has his little deal with the drums and all that, which is great. Keep doing that, but also implement bringing in artisans, bringing somebody to speak, or just bringing people who can teach them another craft. Bring people in that can actually inform them about that, who have gone through the same path, bring other speakers in and who are, living their best life and doing something on the right track. Maybe somebody who has struggled with addiction and any kind of addiction and is now a counselor, and maybe they can come in and be informative and educational about how they went from a rehab facility into their education or into their field where they're at now, or, just something like that, just something to keep everybody thinking about how they can survive on the outside. Like I said, in mine, I had to figure out, what to do. That's why I picked up beadwork and, working out and doing all these different types of things and, doing some reading and, still doing like the work and all that, but, just need a little bit of extra, an extra push into keeping the mind going and not being stuck with those thoughts of being afraid of getting out or whatever. It's just growth. It's a lot of growth when we do that.
Thank you. Taos, could you explain or kind of describe what sober living was or what the facility was like or what you did there?
Yeah, the sober living, I mean, it was ran by us alcoholics or addicts. It teaches you to be accountable. You had to go do stuff. You had to get a job. You had to go to 5 meetings a week. You had to pay your rent. You had to be accountable. I guess being an adult, what I want to call it, you had to start being normal, like normal people. And that's what it taught me. And then, as Ace was saying, I worked 2 years. That's all I did was I worked my regular job and I worked afterwards till dark. You just got to keep your mind busy, or your mind, because your mind's going all the time. You got to slow it down. Being at an Oxford house, you got other people just like you, so you can bounce stuff off of them, and you got people that come in and help you out if something's going on and stuff like that. For me, it's been accountability. Being a normal person, it taught me. Because I'd never paid bills. I'd never done none of that stuff. So, I mean, that's the way it taught me.
Thank you. Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions or comments?
I do have a question. This is Brandy.
Congresswoman Lemon, and then I think, is that Speaker Pratt too? Okay. Mm-hmm. Congresswoman Lemon, go ahead, and then Speaker Pratt after her.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and so nice to meet you, Mr. Samuels. My name's Brandy Lemon. I am a member of the First Nation Congress also, and I'm a nurse by profession, and I started my career in behavioral health took care of people that would come in for detox, and some people would call it a tune-up and whatever you want to call it, you know, as far as that goes, when I started my career. And so you mentioned something earlier that I had on my list to touch on, but I didn't. And I'm so glad that you mentioned it. You mentioned the chronic relapse. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Ms. Shangri mentioned, you know, that it does take longer than one time for some people. Sometimes it's continually having to be in rehab in that type of environment that is so structured and very controlled. It takes a lot for some people to be in there longer than even 30, 60, 90, 120 days, 180 days. Everybody is different, and just like when they're trying to learn any type of new skill. And the longer we practice it, of course, the better we become at it. And so two things I wanted to touch on is that, because what I hear that we're doing here and see that we're doing here, and I'm so very thankful that we're having these conversations, is that it lets other people who are listening in hear this. It lets executive who's here hear it also, that that we're serious about getting moving forward in a full circle of health concerning all of our people who are struggling with addiction, any type of addiction. So two things to touch on is the chronic relapsing. And so one of the questions that I'm going to have actually for, I guess, Ms. Shangri, or maybe the directors of the counseling center and PRT, is what is the turnaround time for someone who has completed our program? And then if they do relapse and they call us up, how soon can they get in? Because sometimes a chronic relapser might have just had one night of drinking, therefore they wouldn't need a detox center for one night of drinking. However, another chronic relapser might have been drinking for 30 days straight or something of that nature, which would require the whole detox system to become in, you know, again. So that, I'm so thankful that you brought that up, Mr. Samuels. And then the other topic that I had a question about was, I thought I mentioned it earlier. There was something that was mentioned. Oh, it was about the time frame for people to be able to complete a program, because it's not really ever a completion. It's a constant work at being your best self and being sober by being your best self. And so we know people that go to rehab for depression, which we know that depression is often an underlying symptom, is this root symptom of why people choose to start drinking, several people. And so I guess what I'm trying to get at is, one question from Ms. Shangri or the health folks here, it would be that, are we looking at incorporating that type of treatment? Because it does take inpatient treatment sometimes. That's what we dealt with when we had people that were alcoholics or just addicts in general would come in, and they had kicked the active substance abuse piece of it, or the eating part of the addiction part, but they were they started feeling themselves started spiraling down into the depression or going up into mania. And they knew that if they didn't get into a structured environment, that they would fall off the wagon per se and go back into the older habits that we all know that when people return to those habits, it's a vicious, more intense cycle, and they will drink more, take more drugs than normal than they normally would. And so that's kind of a couple of questions that I just wanted everybody to maybe start thinking about. So thank you, Asa and Taos, for bringing those to my mind. I appreciate that.
Sam.
Thank you. Speaker Pratt.
Hi, thank you, Chair. And I just want to thank you, gentlemen, for sharing with us today, as well as Second Speaker Rebard. But I guess my question again, this going back to, you know, as not having a lot of answers as far as to how we currently operate. So my question to, I guess all, even all three of you, is what time frame was it when you went through the program? Like this 2 years ago, 5 years ago? I just kind of, you know, in the differences in how maybe they used to operate, how we're currently operating, and the differences, and once we figure out how we actually currently operate. Thank you.
Mine was in 2010. I went to the PRT program. It was 45 days at that time. And they took us out to meetings. We didn't have no cultural stuff, just sweat. That's all we had at the time. Like Ace and them got to build drums or bead, or we didn't have none of that when I was there.
Yeah, my time frame was I went in January 14th of 2019, and I got out March 18th of 2019. So that was my time frame for that. Just exactly what Tal said, you know, trying to maintain certain other aspects of culture and spirituality.
Speaker, I think, I went in July 4th of 2007, and it was 45 days, and I think I went in at it was probably the same when Taos had went. So they had the sweat at the time. Of course, they would take us to work out. We had counselors that came over, so they did group. And then they also did some individual counseling. I think that would have been one thing that I wish that I had more of, and maybe afterwards. They were a lot more strict, I believe, when it was operated under another director, it was more strict. But we did go to AA meetings and NA meetings if that client needed it outside. But I do know, I think, Speaker Pratt, as you know, with Congresswoman Stabler, we did ask that about the other facilities that we visited, and it looked like they both had their meetings inside but they also allowed outside folks to come to their meetings, because that's important too. Because, you know, you get that speaker and all of a sudden you're like, hey, that's my story. And you usually don't get that from other folks. So that was my time frame, Speaker. I think that's what you were asking. And it was, 45 days.
Chair, can I just?
Yes, Speaker, go ahead.
Follow up.
Yes.
Okay, so thank you for the information. And again, at the risk of sounding like we're planning, we are not planning anything. We're just trying to educate ourselves on, you know, best practices, basically. And I don't even know if all of our colleagues know. So I guess we keep kind of saying, oh, we saw this or we saw that, but I haven't actually had a chance to talk. But we actually did go visit two separate facilities. Was that last week or so? Mm-hmm. And we looked at one that was a tribal facility. And they did incorporate a lot of culture. So that's part of what we kind of really took a good look at. And and that's why I wanted to know the time frame, is because, you know, we're talking about all the way back to 2007, 10, and then, you know, kind of a little more present day. But if you talk to probably some of the folks that are in there between 2014-ish to 2019, a lot of those folks didn't have sweat. We were kind of in a time frame where, for whatever reason, they had, you know, not done it anymore for multiple reasons, they've said, and to why they didn't have that in place. But, you know, I was a member of Congress still at that time. And, you know, we actually did a resolution to push that forward because we had heard from so many folks. So I appreciate you sharing that the cultural aspect is important, because I did a resolution to continue this sweat. So to get that back going, because so many folks, and especially being a Native treatment facility, that so many individuals said that that was such a vital aspect in their ongoing recovery. And so I really am happy to hear you all share that that is, has been very important in your recovery. And so that's obviously something that we will suggest that they continue and even grow more, just like you guys have suggested. So I appreciate your comments on that.
Anyone else?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
This is, again, Cindy Schenger, the Chair of the Health Board. Mr. Samuels, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. That you were able to have the strength to come out of the PRT and to, like I said, have the strength to have yourself go to meetings and continue your education without aftercare support is really amazing. And it just really speaks to how far you wanted to come and bring your life. And we are thankful that our Osage program was able to do that for you. And with that being said, we do know that there is a need for transitional living for not only men, but for women and children, so that women may bring their families with them and to be able to do this, to do the things that Mr. Barone was able to do too, learn how to live a sober life instead of being forced back into the community where Mr. Samuels was able to do it on his own. So thank you both very much for your stories, for your encouragement, because I think the more people that you talk to, you're going to help more people just as well. And we're going to work hard to try to bring our facilities a little bit more into the future and just be a little bit more comprehensive care till we have brought everyone full circle. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, this Chair, I'm so sorry, I have one more question.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, and Ms. Schenger bringing that up about the, so that was one thing that we kind of, something I probably hadn't thought about before, because I was more on the side of like, you know, wanting, we talk about like women, like there are always being more beds available with the women because typically they're the ones that have the children. But I mean, you know, you all are fathers too. So I just guess I would like to hear your thoughts on that, because I didn't think about it until we were, when that guy at the one facility said that, you know, we don't have them bring their children because that's really a time that they need to focus on themselves. And so what are your thoughts on, you know, whether you would want to, if you needed to bring your children with you, or was that more of a time that you just really did need to focus on yourself and your own treatment and getting well for your family?
That's a pretty good question, because I mean, that's, it's very difficult on that one as well, because, you know, you miss your family. You want your family there all the time. But at the same time, you do have to work on yourself. One of the things I did learn, you know, in my chronic relapse stage was that, you know, if you're trying to focus on one problem or one significant problem, it's best to focus on that one problem. I tried dieting. I tried other things as well. I tried to work on myself in many other aspects while trying to combat my alcoholism, and it didn't work. That's why I relapsed so many times. You know, I had the tools. I just didn't have the heart for it, or I had the heart for it. I just didn't have all the tools, and they did not work together. So, you know, carrying the family in that little area, I think it is a harsh sacrifice, but I think it's a necessary sacrifice in order to be away from the family to make yourself better, because it did build my relationship with my kids even better. But, you know, like I said, all of us could be different. It could be different for everybody. You know, I mean, it could be different for Taos. Taos might have something, you know, on the opposing side of what I'm saying, but I mean, you know, with me, it was, you know, I think it was very much worth it to be away from the family and to actually work on, you know, building myself to fight this addiction and to be really, really focused into it instead of really focused into, you know, a family life. Because, you know, the family life has its own problems. I know we all know that. So, you know, and dealing with alcoholism is something completely different. It's not just with your life. It's with yours and your family's all together. So I think it's just best just to kind of focus on that one thing.
Thank you.
Yeah, for me too. I think you need to focus on yourself for at least the first 45 days, and then maybe try to integrate your family, have family counseling and stuff like that. I don't know if they do that at PRT. When I was there, they didn't have that. I think they let our family come up and visit on weekends, but they really didn't have no therapy for the family, because the family's dealing with it too.
That's true.
There ain't no Al-Anon meetings. A lot of people don't even know about Al-Anon. So, I mean, that's for families that has an alcoholic or addict that they're dealing with, and what I want to say, they enable us sometimes because they don't know what else to do. But once they get into Al-Anon and they learn what they're doing to us, and that, I think there needs to be family counseling. I mean, that's my deal. And integrate your kids back in after 45 days.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta really work on yourself. You gotta want it yourself. Like Asa was saying, you gotta really dig down and want it yourself before, and then you can start getting your kids in there once your mind's kind of cleared up.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. We've actually run out of our time for our meeting today. I hope other members of the committee or other members of Congress got something from this today. I know I did. For one thing, I got a better understanding and a better confidence in what our program does. You know, before there was just always a lot of speculation. They do this, they don't do that, they're not doing this. We really don't know. So that was my intent, was to get us to understand what we have right now with us, and then hopefully where this nation might go for the future. One of the things I'd like for you to put on your list from the clinic is that we need to have a meeting to present the plans of the clinic. I was told we hadn't done that yet, and I hadn't thought about that, so we will try to schedule something. If you could go ahead and forward those plans so members of Congress could go ahead and be looking at them. We will try to get another meeting scheduled. As I explained before, we're going to have some scheduling issues in June, so we'll try to work around those. I thank everybody for being here today, and especially Asa and Taos really made a big impact for me, and I certainly appreciate that. And without objection, we are adjourned. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you all for coming and helping as much as you can.
We'll get it. I know Kirk and I both made copious notes. We will get all the information to you. We have a meeting Thursday.
Oh, so. I meant to notice that there was a notice out. Everybody was noticed on May 7th. And the reports, I think, were attached.
Yeah,
so I'll double check on
not that. All reports were attached, but the ones
but the ones that
were attached. Yeah, I need to update the agenda.
I've seen you not too long ago. Looked like he's been all right, Joe.
I don't know how you felt about us inviting Taos and Asa, but I think it's very important to invite the people that you serve, because I just feel.